Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we're going to be talking about one of my favorite subjects. What's that? Food. Yes. The food is it. I just absolutely enjoy cooking, although I don't have much of a chance to do it. And when I got this material on 15-minute diabetic meals, I said, oh boy, here we go, another book on diabetic meals. And so I've had a plethora of these, but what I like is that these little things are quick. And if any of you are saying, I really want to have some quick recipes, I'm busy, I don't have time to fool around with food, well, Nancy Hughes, who's my guest today, she's going to be giving us some tips. Nancy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Donna. This is great.
Now, you have authored 12 cookbooks. I had to chuckle because I asked you, did you have your cookbook in front of you? Because we were going to be talking about some recipes. You said, Donna, I've not only got cookbooks, I got this, I got that, I got the other. So I got this picture of an abundance of information you're probably even not going to be able to cover. But you're a recipe developer.
Right.
Now, that is a combination of terms that I've not come across in my conversations with different people that have been involved in cookbooks. A recipe developer. You have been involved with over 45 cookbooks.
Yes.
For different organizations, whether it's Weight Watchers, Better Home and Gardens. I mean, do you ever get out of the kitchen, Nancy?
Well, I have some great people that help do get out of the kitchen for me. They do the shopping and the unloading, and I take care of the cleaning up afterwards, because I'm cooking from 7 in the morning until 7 at night on different projects. So I'm either developing them in my head or doing them in the kitchen, but I'm constantly working. And that's one reason that I came up with this angle, I guess, I hate, for lack of a better word, is because I didn't have time at the end of the day to cook for my family.
No kidding.
Well, I'd be like making desserts all day. Well, who wants to have 9 cakes for dinner?
Oh, my goodness. If I were you, I'd probably say, thanks, I'll just have some walnuts and yogurt. Forget the cooking. I mean, if I had been up cooking since 7 a.m. in the morning,
yes.
Get real. I
good
mean, this
shoes.
Is unbelievable.
Good shoes and a good attitude and a nice cup of hot tea at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Well, I've learned to streamline it. I have over the years. At first, I was doing everything with all 3 kids at home and my husband working late hours. And, I was doing all the shopping, the chopping, and the cleaning up and starting all over again. And then I got smart. And then I could figure out ways
eventually it's either that or they're going to bury you with, heads of lettuce and stuff that you never finished cooking with. And they're going to say, oh, bless her sweet little cooking people, our soul there. Okay. I know that we have so many women who are listening that just groan whenever somebody asks them, what are we going to have for dinner?
Oh, they're not by themselves. They are not.
Oh, my goodness. And, here in the U.S., we're so fortunate. I mean, anytime I walk into any of our grocery stores, I just think we are just so very fortunate because we have such diversity. Yet, Americans typically are so busy working all the time. There's a lot of food that's consumed, eating out. And let's just talk about eating habits. And I know when I travel, I've learned how to sort of take my own food type of thing, because I really, early on, years ago, decided restaurants were wonderful, but most of the time I couldn't get what I really wanted
or needed.
And then not only that, but sometimes it was just far too much food, and I didn't have any place to keep it. There weren't refrigerators in the hotel room. And then often the prices were so exorbitant. So I know with so many people today that are out of work and they're on very strict budgets, they have families to feed, anything that can enable them to be more efficient with food and be able to fix something in a timely manner. I mean, I'm a great one for scrambled eggs. Get out the skillet, crack a few eggs, and that's it, and I'm fine. But, you know, that gets to be a bit old, too. You talked about the 9 cakes. After a while, you start seeing eggs in your dreams, and you don't need that anymore.
There's a lot of saccharine fat to go with it.
So, let's talk a little bit about nutrition, because this is something that's coming more and more into the forefront, and it's up to the consumer to be educated. And today, when you go shopping, a lot of the convenience foods that you thought were so economical, they're not.
Oh, right.
They are not. So let's talk about what people need to know when they're in the grocery stores and what they need to pay attention to get good buys. Let's get some information here for the consumer.
Well, I wasn't even going to mention this first, but if you're starting with nutrition, I'm going to say this, that you need to be really careful when you're buying chicken and when you're buying pork, like pork tenderloins or chicken
mm-hmm.
breast, because you think, okay, this is a lean cut of meat or poultry. This is no problem. It doesn't matter what the brand is. It does matter what the brand is. And the reason I'm saying that, turn it around, look at the sodium content. If it's over like 70 milligrams per serving, they have either put broth in there, some sort of sodium, some sort of salt product in there to preserve it, to plump it up, to give it more flavor, that type of thing. Be aware of those, because you're adding your own salt and pepper with a recipe or with your own style, and they've already put in like 300 or 400 milligrams of sodium, and you wonder why it tastes so salty or why it tastes so off. And these are name brands, so I'm on my bandwagon about that. So please be careful with chicken breast and pork tenderloin, especially if you have anything to do with high blood pressure, heart issues, which most people with diabetes have one way or another. So
mm-hmm.
watch out for that, and watch out for your salts. That's kind of the big thing that concerns me. I'm not saying just throw the salt shaker away. Just don't be quite so heavy-handed with it and add it at the end of dishes. But that's a whole different story. In your supermarket, in your produce aisle, you can get a lot of deals sometimes, and that's good, but sometimes they might be, you need to watch, because if they're older, then they're losing some of their nutritional
mm-hmm.
value. Like, look at the lettuce leaves, look at your date on spinach bags, for example, or your lettuce bags. Look at those dates, because it does matter. It does.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
In fact, let me interject something here. I was on a business trip, and I really enjoy those prepackaged salads, because
yeah.
they're convenient. And when
yeah.
I'm traveling, then I can, you know, make do. And I opened up a bag, and I don't know how long it had been on the shelf, but the leaves had already, the lettuce leaves, the romaine, and the arugula that was in there, they were turning. They were already brown.
Mm.
And
soggy.
So I don't know what happened, if, you know, they'd, I didn't look at the date. Now, that's something I didn't
do. I tell you
do.
A little secret with that.
Uh-huh.
It's called FIFO. FIFO is first in, first out. That's something you learn when you first start culinary school, which I did. But I did it all backwards. I wrote books, magazines, taught cooking classes, then went to culinary school. So.
Uh-huh. There we go.
One thing they did say is, you know, you push everything up, use that up first. You know, whatever comes in first, use that first. Then use your next shipment of things, because that way you keep things fresh. But a lot
right.
of times in the grocery store, they'll push everything up and put the new stuff in the back. Reach for the back, because you know those dates are better than the ones in the front.
Aha, uh-huh, there you got it, folks. Whether it's milk, meat, vegetables, anything.
Right.
Reach
anything.
For the stuff in the back and
right.
and compare the dates. That
right.
is a very, very good tip.
Yeah. But and then, you know, you have a lot, like I started saying, you have some good deals, like the buy one, get one free, or buy
mm-hmm.
one, get two free. And that's always good. You know, throw those in the freezer. But it's only good if you're going to use it. It's not a deal if you don't use it. So, you know, if you know you're not going to eat 3 bags of tilapia, frozen tilapia or whatever, give it to your neighbor or something, and maybe she can do something with another product, like chicken. If she gets two, buy one, two, get one free thing,
mm-hmm.
you can swap out that way. And then you don't have freezers full of one thing. But
right. And something, too, that I know that I've done through the years, if you have some friends and they're on a limited income and you say, well, gee whiz, I'm going to go to the store and there is this special sale going on, how about giving it up? Would you like to split the cost?
Right.
And that often is a great thing to do. And I remember someone that used to work for me years ago, I'd say, I'm going to go because so-and-so is having a sale. Would you like to do this? And they say, oh, sure, because I'm not going to use 15 pounds of bacon or whatever it was. And we can cut the cost. Well, that's marvelous. It works perfectly. And I think with families, many times people will say, well, I just absolutely love pears, but if I buy a case of pears, I'll have them around until the cows come home. So you may have a neighbor that's got kids, and they'd say, oh, this would be great. I'd be happy to split the cost with you. So I think little tips like that can really make a difference, and it's a win-win for everybody.
Well, I'll even buy, like, if you like sirloin steak, boneless sirloin steak, cut it up. You know, you get one that's a pound and a half, and you know that you're only really supposed to have three-fourths of a pound or whatever your recipe calls for. Just cut it in half and throw one in the freezer so you have it for another meal.
Oh, I agree. I do that with chicken. Sometimes there will be sales, and I learned this years ago. I had whole chickens that I'd buy. And then I'd cut them up into halves or into quarters, whatever I wanted to do. And then the giblets that were inside, I'd toss those in a plastic bag. Of course, my dogs love those. And when they're $3 a pound, you know, by themselves in the store, if you do things like this, and just it can save you money. So you just to fix it up, prepare it, put it in the freezer bags, or if you have the automatic shrinking system, the packaging system, it's wonderful, and you can do it with steaks, and we have one business here in the area that I live in where you can go in and you can buy cuts of meat or pork or chicken, whatever it is that you want, and then you cut it up as you need it, and it's amazingly cost-effective.
I gave a cooking class one time, and the next day I went to the grocery store, and it was the same theory. You know, you buy one hunk of meat, and then they thinly sliced part of it, they chunk some up, you know, they grind another part of it. And I went into the grocery store the next day and said hi to the butcher as I was walking by. He goes, wait a minute. And I said, what? He said, did you have a cooking class last night? He said, five people have been in the last half hour asking for this.
I love it.
Yeah.
No, they don't. They don't. I really think that there are so many tips, as we're sharing right now, that can help people economize. And you can eat healthy. That's important. It doesn't mean you have to live on wheatgrass and carrot juice, folks.
No, you don't
have to do that. You can have good food and healthy food. And it can also be flavorfully delicious. Now, these are 15-minute meals. You know what? I want to talk about the mango and cheesecake spread on cinnamon English muffins. I know it's not breakfast time. Maybe some part in the world where somebody's listening where it is breakfast time. But how about something like this to give, you know, if you had company, or how about just doing it for yourself in the morning where you have a day off and you just want to feel so absolutely marvelously wonderful, and you don't have to spend $5 on a latte, get dressed up and go anywhere. You can have this in your own home.
What you do is you take cream cheese, well, fat-free kind, and then you mix it with the milk and vanilla and sugar substitute. You just mix that together. And when you taste it, it tastes sort of like cheesecake. And you can keep it in your fridge. And there might just be one person in your house that wants to have this. But that one person, being yourself probably, you have something special in a little container or a jar or something, and you just pull it out and spread it on your whole wheat English muffins, and you can top it with mango or strawberries or your favorite fruit. It doesn't have to just be mango. But, oh, my gosh, on those cinnamon English muffins mixed with a cheesecake spread, topped with fresh fruit, that's so special, and all you did was open the jar and put it in. I mean, just treat it like a salad dressing, so to speak. You just keep it on hand.
Speaking
of salad dressings, you were talking about, you know, a variety and keeping things fun, and or I was, and you were talking about interesting and flavorful. When you get just a split second chance, double your every time you make a salad dressing, double it. Double it and put the remaining part of it in a little jar in your fridge and put Post-it on it or a marker pen or something, and just so you have a variety of homemade salad dressings. So whenever time you make a salad dressing, I mean, all my salad dressings are very, very easy. And I'm, there's a lot of them out there that are. But find the ones that you like that are not bottled, that you don't have to pay a lot for off the grocery aisle. But throw these things together, throw them in the fridge, and you've got a, you'll want salads more often because you'll have a lot, a big variety. Fruit salad dressings as well as vegetable salad dressings. So that was just a little quick tip I wanted to throw in.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
But the reason I wrote this is because, like I said, my lifestyle is crazy. Most people's lives, I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're just starting out or you're on your own or you're all on your own again, you know. But it's just so easy and it's doable. I wanted to make sure these recipes were doable. If they were doable, they would do them. And these are. And all the ingredients in a local grocery store. If I couldn't get it in a local grocery store, it didn't go in the book. I don't have time to go to 16 different stores or a specialty shop here. Well, I would like to do it, but I, realistically, you know, I can do that once in a while. But I just want things from the local grocery store that I can throw together that taste great, that have comfort levels and high in flavor, and they pop with freshness.
Yes. Now, this is a time of the year when soup, at least in my house, becomes a very popular. And what I love to do is make up batches of soup and then freeze it.
Yeah.
And I love to use the fresh vegetables like kale and that type of thing. But you had one in here that just sounded so wonderful, creamy ham and potato oregano soup.
Yes.
And this could be put in a crock pot.
It can. You can, and it's just so, well, I'm starting to sound like a broken record here, but it's easy. But you take a saucepan and you brown the ham. The secret to this is browning the ham first. It's that 96% fat-free diced ham.
Mm-hmm.
And if you brown it with a little bit of cooking spray, that's all you need. Then you pull it off the heat and set it to the side because you add that at the very end. And then you cook your potatoes and a little bit of milk together. I mean, it's like, it's a five-minute soup. It really is. After that simmers for 5 minutes, you throw in the rest of the milk, ham, cream of mushroom soup. See, I'm telling you, you can have regular stuff. Cream of mushroom soup, the 98% fat-free type, and a little bit of onion, and it's topped with green onions. And it's killer good. It's like it's sort of like a cheater soup, you know, with half homemade and half not. A little help from your friends.
Absolutely. And again, these are recipes that are so quick and so easy. Let's talk about the cheese tortilla rollers. Those are absolutely wonderful. And I looked at this and I said, why didn't I think of this? This is great. This
is
wonderful.
I was so tired one day. I mean, I could not see straight. And I thought, what would I do if I'm this tired but I still want something, like a snack or a quick lunch? And what would I honestly want at this point? Just do it.
Right.
And I had all these ingredients, and you just take soft corn tortillas, and you sprinkle cumin on it, or chili powder, and a little bit of dried pepper flakes, and you put a cheese stick in the middle of it. You roll it up, you pop it in the microwave for a few seconds till the cheese just starts to melt, and there you go. I mean, how easy is that?
That's what I mean. So many of her recipes are so easy here, and kids would love this.
Well, you know
but
what?
When that you're wanting something, when your blood sugar starts to dip, and you're ravenous, I don't know about anybody else, but I can tell you, if there is a particular candy bar made of caramel with nuts in it, and my sugar drops, because I have a patterning towards hypoglycemia, it drops, guess what I go for? Something healthy? I don't think so. No, but this is so easy. You could have something like this that you could take to work. You could have it for, you know, a snack at a break, and it's just a great thing. And like you said, at home?
Well, you know, with two of those is a perfect protein. It's a complete protein, two of those. If you're in a hurry, like you've got a baseball game to go to with your little kids and you want to throw something together and eat it in the car on the way, you know, that type of thing, or for a quick, I mean, it's a breakfast. It's okay. It's cheese and tortilla, you know?
Right. But, and it's wonderful.
It is, but the thing is, it tastes like junk food. It tastes like you're not supposed to have it.
I'll go for that. And you know what part of that is the fat in the cheese.
Yeah. Yeah.
The fat in the cheese really
And
does.
The cumin.
And the cumin, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It just makes it taste like you're far away, you know, or your favorite little Mexican restaurant right down the street, you know.
Absolutely.
Not that far.
Now, you have a recipe. We're coming up to the holidays, Nancy. And, boy, I can tell you there are some fabulous cooks that I know that are listening to this show. And if they're like me, when it comes to the holidays, they always have these very special recipes. Pumpkin pies, all kinds of good things. And, of course, we know that they can sometimes be really, really loaded with a lot of calories we don't want to have in there. Now, this is not a diet book. This is something you need to understand when you're listening to it. The 15-minute diabetic meals is not a diet book. But what it does, it gives you an intelligent way of creating something that you can enjoy without feeling like, oh, good Lord, I'm going to have to go out and run at least 45 miles for that last piece of pie.
Right.
This is absolutely wonderful. The no-bake pumpkin cream that you have in here.
As I'm pulling to it, I do want to say one thing, too. This is all with the American Diabetes Association, and all the guidelines are followed. And what I did is I developed the recipes in accordance to their guidelines, their nutritional guidelines, and then sent it to them, and then they have a dietitian who does a review of them as well. So I'm covering my bases every way. So that they do meet the American Diabetes Nutritional Guidelines is by the American Diabetes Association, and they contracted me to write this. So I'm very excited about it. And you were talking about the sweet pumpkin whip, or the no-bake pumpkin cream.
The no-bake pumpkin cream. That saves us another step, ladies. This is not bad. You don't have to bake this. Let's talk about this, because it really is quite tasty. And I would say if you make it up and let it sit so that the flavors can marry
nicely,
it's a great thing before the holiday. Fix this up and it's already chilled and ready to go in your pretty dishes, and all you have to do is serve it up. Am I wrong?
That's what's so nice, because, you know, I personally won't make a pumpkin pie year-round because I'll eat the whole thing. I love it. Oh, just eat it. But this is okay, and you've got the feel of pumpkin pie. You can sit on your foot and watch an old movie and have a big spoon and just enjoy it. But it's pumpkin. It's solid canned pumpkin. Not the pumpkin mix, but the solid canned, just regular pumpkin pureed. Mm-hmm. And then you mix that you get at the grocery store, and you just whisk in some sugar, just a small amount of sugar, and cinnamon, nutmeg, allspice, and vanilla. The vanilla makes things sweeter. When you want something to taste sweeter but you don't want to add more sugar, add a little more vanilla than you normally do, and it pulls up the flavors. But then you, as you get all that whisked together, which takes about, 30 seconds max, then you whisk in a cup and a half of whipped topping, the fat-free whipped topping,
mm-hmm.
and you whisk that, and so it gives a real creamy taste. You put those in equal amounts, which is like a half a cup, in each ramekin, make it pretty, and then you top it with a little bit more whipped topping. And if you want to sprinkle a little nutmeg or cinnamon on top, you can, but it's really, really, really pretty. And you can keep this in the refrigerator for a good week, if not longer.
Oh, wow, if it lasts that long.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say.
If it lasts that long, wasn't in my house.
But, I mean, you can dress it up. You can put it in wine goblets, or you can just put it in a cup. You know, which depends on the mood and who you're serving at the time.
Or if you're really in one of those moments, forget putting it in anything and just take it right out of the dish and fix it in. You know, it all depends on what your mood. If you're having a PMS moment, just know this is okay.
Get out of my way.
That's it. Let's talk about sweet potatoes, because I love them. In our household, it is absolutely one of our favorite things to have. We like to just maybe put them in the microwave, nuke them, and just have them with salt and pepper and a little bit of butter. But you've got a recipe in here for sweet potatoes with orange marmalade. And I thought, this is amazing. And orange and sweet potatoes go together. I mean, they're just awesome. So let's share that with the audience.
Well, you're going to have to pitch that one on. I can't go as fast as you are. Hold on 1 second, I'm trying.
Well, let me do it then. It's on page 192. You need 2 8-ounce sweet potatoes, and you pierce them. And you need 1.5 tablespoons of reduced fat margarine, and 1.5 tablespoons of orange marmalade, and 1/2 teaspoon of ground cinnamon. Now, I want to ask you a question. What if someone does not use margarine? They don't want to have anything to do with margarine. Would you cut the amount down in half for the butter?
I would tell you to buy light butter. You can buy light butter.
Okay.
Land O'Lakes, for example, puts that out, and that's fewer fat grams. It's because it's whipped. But I would, if you don't want to use margarine, which I understand, then you can use that, or you can add a little bit of canola oil, a little canola oil instead of any the other. Because the oil gives that taste, that texture that you're looking for.
The fat, yeah. You have to have some kind of fat. Yeah.
It's the texture, yeah.
Okay, and so then the potatoes, you put them in microwave, cook them on a high setting for about 6 minutes or until they're tender. It all depends on how your microwave cooks.
Right.
Also, you combine all of the remaining ingredients, your fat, your oil, your margarine, whatever you're going to use, your marmalade, and your cinnamon. You mix that up, and when the potatoes are done, split them in half, fluff them with a fork and spoon equal amounts, about 2 teaspoons each, of the marmalade mixture on top of each potato half.
Yes.
Really?
Finally found it.
Yeah.
I have 2 sweet potato recipes that have orange in them. Wait. But I've got all these post-its in my book. But people sometimes wonder, gosh, can you put a sweet potato in a microwave and actually have it taste not overcooked, dry, stringy? You know, yes, you can. You have to pierce it first. That's the ticket, is to pierce it. And if you want to go one step further, which is not in this book, but you can go one step further, is take a damp paper towel and put it around it and put it in the microwave. It doesn't even have to be damp. Just because the steam from the potato will dampen the paper, and that holds the steam in, which turns around and cooks it again. So, I mean, it's like it keeps it moist. It holds the steam in, but not so much that it's exploding, but it gives a little bit of tenderness to it. And then it's really, I'm calling for 2 8-ounce sweet potatoes. And the reason I'm doing that is because it's very, very difficult to find 4 ounces. And if you saw a 4-ounce potato, you would cry because it's a little thing.
Looks pathetic. That's what you're telling me.
All psychological. So you take those sweet potatoes at the end, you cut them in half lengthwise, then you fluff them up, which increases the volume itself, and then you put this orange buttery marmalade on top, and the diet margarine will melt, but again, you can have your canola oil, and that'd be fine, and just a pinch of salt. And it just oozes all over the top of your potato, and it just glistens. It is so good. It is so easy. And you can keep that in your refrigerator as well. You know, I was saying about the salad dressings, the same thing with these toppings. And I've got a lot of toppings in here for that very reason. Because
Yes, you have.
You know, you can throw this on like your toaster waffles, your whole grain toaster waffles, or toast. I mean, it doesn't have to be just for potatoes. Carrots?
Well, Nancy, we've covered a few items in our conversation today. I really think you are just delightful, and I think it would be a hoot to be in a kitchen with you while you're doing all of this stuff. So for those of you that are looking for a new line of work, becoming a recipe developer might be something you want to consider. But, Nancy, your 15-minute diabetic meals, it's a 4-ingredient diabetic cookbook that you also had authored. This is just wonderful, and I think it would make a great gift, let's say a young person getting married, or if you have anyone of any age, they could utilize this, and it's really going to enable them to have good food, easy things to prepare, and it's going to look pretty, too, on a plate. It's really going to be very, very nice. Nancy, what's your website that people can go to?
You can go to store.diabetes.org to check out the book. You can call 1-800-232-6733 as well. Or you can go on my website if you need to check out, see why I do what I do, and that's nancyshughes.com.
nancyshughes.com, and of course, store.diabetes.com and give us that
.org.
I beg your pardon. .org and give us that 800 number again.
800-232-6733.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just forget the word diabetes is even in there. It's for the entire family. Get the kids involved. Let them pick one out. It's fun. It really is fun.
That is a great idea. Nancy, you're a doll. Thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you, Dawn. I already
know what I'm going to be fixing in the kitchen so that I can satisfy my sweet tooth and pumpkin.
Oh, good. I'll think of you the next time I eat it.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Nancy Hughes, the 15-Minute Diabetic Meal Cookbook, a real good addition to your cookbook collection. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open, and if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, I would be delighted to do exactly that. The number to call into if you'd like for me to give you a reading on the air is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Well, I want to let you know who's coming online tomorrow. We're going to be talking about history's mysteries with Brian Houghton tomorrow. And he's in England, and so I'm looking forward to chatting with a gentleman whose passion is research about the unusual, the places on the planet that maybe we need to know more about. Brian's going to be with us. Then on Thursday, we're going to be talking with Connie Joy, a woman that had a direct involvement with the people involved with the tragedy in Sedona, Arizona. This is coming up. We're going to be chatting with her directly. And then on Friday, we'll be talking to Greg Corbin. His publication is Beyond Reason. This is a story about his son who died just a short time before he turned 10 years of age. And it is an amazing story about a child and what he taught his parents before he passed away. So it's just some great things. And if you want to know more about the guests that are coming up on the show, all you need to do is go into bbsradio.com and Station 1 and go into where the Donna Sebo Show is, and you can see the listing of the upcoming guests. So tap on it, and you'll know who's coming up and a little bit about them so that you can tell your friends, and also tune in as well. Well, yesterday I did not have the opportunity to share with you about a liquid poltergeist. Now, I had never heard of that term. Poltergeist I've heard about for years. And that's for those of you that may not be familiar with poltergeists. Those are energies that shake, rattle, and roll in a person's environment. Frequently, they demonstrate their presence because there is a young person that's in the environment. There's a lot more to it than that. I'm making it sort of simplistic. But there are unusual cases of poltergeist activity. And this one occurred on August the 30th of the, 1919. This is documented. It was in Norfolk, England. Ah, yes, the English are very, very good at keeping records on these kinds of things. After all, spiritualism evolved from the English, and it's still going strong over there today. And this was an event that occurred in a residence, and it was at the Swanton Novers Rectory. And the newspapers all around were carrying this story about an oily substance that was seeping through the ceilings, spreading from, well, random patches, where sometimes it would go to spurting fountains and flows of liquid. Was not explainable at all. Now, there was a suggestion when this started happening that this house that it was occurring in, the rectory, was built over an oil well. But that's what the liquid was not. It wasn't oil. It was a refined gasoline. When they examined it, they discovered its chemical structure, and, of course, the oil theory had to be abandoned. Then, other liquids started coming through the ceiling and the walls and the floors of this rectory. They found 13 different indoor showers of liquid material. Sometimes it was water. Sometimes it was mentholated spirit. Sometimes it was sandalwood oil. Even paraffin, liquid paraffin, or, again, gasoline. They were able to measure how much was flowing through the walls, the ceilings, and the floor, and they said a quart was collected every 10 minutes. Now, I'm sure you could figure this next step that they did. What they did, they took the walls and ceilings out. That's right. They ripped them out. They said, we've got to find out what's going on here. But they could not find the source of the flow. Now, it caused the reverend, who was living on the premises in this rectory, he had to leave it, and there was blame for this mess placed on a 15-year-old housemaid. Her name was Mabel. Now, there was a stage magician whose name was Oswald Williams. He and his wife investigated this phenomenon. They wanted to check it out. They said for science they wanted to do this. They wanted to explore what was going on here, and they weren't in it for the publicity. Now, the water supply to the house was shut off, and pails of water were salted for identification purposes. They were placed all around the house. And the magician and his wife, they hid inside the premises and later came out with the 15-year-old girl, Mabel. They said that the housemaid was caught throwing water on the ceiling. She'd broken down and confessed. Now, Mabel said, I didn't do this. She said Mrs. Williams, the magician's wife, had slapped her many times and they had threatened her with prison if she did not admit to doing these antics, poltergeist activities. And the magician himself said, although he was not there, he knew the girl had not been hit. No one explained ever how this girl had obtained the expensive substances on her meager wages or managed to transport 50 gallons of fluids to the ceiling under the eyes of the investigators without being caught. Yes, it went to court. Guess what the court did? They threw the whole thing up. And the mystery was never, ever resolved. Of course, they don't say how long it went on, but it went on long enough. Poltergeist activity, liquid poltergeist activity. Like I said, I wanted to share it with you. Okay, Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I was sent some information about Maxine, the cartoon character. I love her. I just think she is a doll. Little did I know that the character Maxine was inspired by the artist's mother. His name is John Wagner. And he said not only did his mother inspire him, but also his maiden aunts and his grandmother. He said that she brought to the class lessons he attended, she said, this is something you just need to know about. So he really has based a lot of this on the women that have been in his life. He said he remembers doodling as a preschooler and that his grandmother and mother encouraged him to continue his artistic interest. And eventually he went to the Vesper George School of Art in Boston and landed at Hallmark, which is a huge facility, as part of a new artist's group. And he said it was the birth of the humorous shoebox greeting cards division. And he said it was just a tiny little section of the Hallmark artists that produced things in 1986. And he said it was just a wonderful environment, and Maxine came to life. And he said, cartoonists are sensitive to the insanities of the world. We just try to humanize them. And he said, if Maxine can get a laugh out of someone who is lonely or someone who's getting older and hates the thought of another birthday, if she can make someone chuckle about stressful interpersonal relationships, then I'm happy. Putting a smile on someone's face is what it's all about. Well, of course, for those of you listening, if you're like me and you enjoy Maxine tremendously, I mean, I just love the picture of her holding her super-duper Maxine mug, and she says her idea of a Super Bowl is a toilet that cleans itself. I couldn't relate. I mean, I just think she's a doll. And I just think that his fans, which are around the world, there has been a whole market that's created around this one cartoon character. And people say the reason they relate to Maxine is that it's so down to earth. She is a lady that is either a carbon copy of themselves or they wish they could be like Maxine, totally honest. And people have wondered where to get the name Maxine. Well, when he started drawing this character, he said the people at Shoebox started referring to her as John Wagner's old lady. Well, he said it was going to get him into trouble with his wife. He knew if that kept on. So they had a contest at Hallmark, the Shoebox team. They were going to name the character, and three of approximately 30 entries suggested the name Maxine, and it fits her just perfectly. And I just got such a kick out of the cartoons that came along with it. It's like someone asking Maxine, what's the secret for keeping your figure? And she's eating this huge piece of cake. She says, getting everything to droop at the same time. It's just, oh, she's just got such a good sense of humor. She's down to earth. Like when she says, let me know if you suddenly become interesting. And just, it's just great. I just really think that she is a wonderful character that brings a lot of life and laughter into sometimes some frustrating situations. This is Donna Sebo. I've got some other things to share with you today, but if you want me to share my intuitive talents with you, giving you some insight into your life, give me a call at 888-815-9756. Donna Sebo here. We'll be back in just a moment.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. and all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. For those of you listening in the state of Washington, I know I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but in the coming weeks, I'll be letting you know where I'm going to be doing an appearance in Tacoma. And this is going to be a fundraiser for a particular charity as well as a wonderful Dickens Fair event. I think it's in its sixth or seventh year here. And it's just been wonderful. They've invited me to go back, and I'll be doing many consultations there, and that will be at King's Bookstore in downtown Tacoma. So there's more information in my newsletter, and that is up on my website. So you can go in there and check it out at DelphiInternational.com. And if you would like to get my monthly newsletter, again, just send me an email and I'll add you to the list. Insurance. All of us carry it, and we have different needs, different types of insurance. Now, I found out about a tip that if you are having to file a home insurance claim, that's nothing that any of us look forward to, little did I realize that what you say and what you put on your claim can make a difference. If you are first reporting an incident, let's say it's a flood or you had a fire or something like that, they said you want to be careful the words that you use, because apparently there are red flags that go on your insurance policy. It shouldn't happen, but it does. So instead of saying flood or mold, this is something where a lot of insurance companies, depending on who you're with, will say, this is a risky person. Are they in a flood area? Are they going to have future things with mold in their house? Well, say there's been damage to my property. I'd like to file a claim and need an inspection. So you're not telling them very much of anything, but you're stating specifically that there's been damage to your property, you want to file a claim, and you need an inspection. And that way, you may not have that red flag put on your file. I just thought I would share that with you because that came to my attention. And then, if you're wanting to get rid of clutter, this is a great time of year to go through your garage, go through any area of your home where you just feel like you're overwhelmed. In my house, it's books. Well, I usually gather a bunch of them together and then take them to the library. Well, if you want to turn your clutter into cash, there's different ways that you can do it. Now, I firmly believe in giving things away to organizations like the Goodwill, the Salvation Army, or even, you know, to some of the places you might have organizations that are supportive of people that are out of work, down on their luck, and maybe you have furniture or other things that you want to give. Just find that special group that's very important to you. Many times you can find it through your own church organization. But this is a way, if you don't want to do that, if you want to turn whatever you have into cash, here are some tips that might work for you that you can check out. Now, if you've got iPods, cell phones, printers, computers, or any other kind of electronic item that you're not using, you can trade them in for a check or a store gift card, even if they're broken. Now, here are some websites that I've been given information on. BuyMyTronics.com, BuyMyTronics, T like Tom, RONICS.com, URenew.com, UYOU, Renew.com, bestbytradein.com, bestbytradein.com, or hewlettpackard.com. Now, that would be hp.com/United States/HHO/buyback-recycle/index.html. Now, if you have gotten anything from Best Buy at any time and you still have your receipt, you can sell it back and get cash or a gift card right on the spot when you take it back in. So this is really becoming quite a big business. One tip I want to give you. Any electronic item that has a hard drive in it, you take that hard drive out. You take it out. You do not just turn over your printer or your computer to anyone without removing that hard drive. Why? Because it has all of your information on it. And in the printer, and I was sharing this with someone just recently, and this man said, I have every hard drive that's been in any computer. He's gone through 45 computers, but he said he never thought about his printer. So he said he saved every one of the hard drives because he said there's no way that he knows of that they can absolutely be made clean. So for security purposes, he's got them locked up. Anyway, I know you can smash them, break them up, whatever, but just remember that one specific thing for security. Also, clothes. I mean, my goodness, sometimes we have just racks and racks of clothes. And if you want to have a free storefront for your clothes, you can go to smashon.com. That's smashion.com. And you can upload the photos of the items that you want to sell. You write a brief description and set your own price. And you'll get paid once you get an offer, often within a few days, and you'll get paid through PayPal. Now, if you want your cash faster, you can bring your items to a place like Plato's Closet or Buffalo Exchange. Now, these are two national resale clothing store chains. A buyer will review them, make you an offer, and give you cash. And if you want to find out how you can locate a store near you, go to Plato'sCloset.com or BuffaloExchange.com. That's PLATOS.com or BuffaloExchange.com. And books, I told you I had a plethora of them. That was a big surprise. Those piles that you have, you can make anywhere from $1 to $50 on each one. You can go to cash4books.net, cash4books.net, or sellbackyourbook.com, mybookbuyer.com, or powells.com, and type in your book's 10 or 13-digit ISBN number, which is always on the back of the book, and you'll get an instant price quote. That's right. They'll tell you what they'll pay you for it. And you can also check with your local used bookseller, and many offer cash for books that are in good condition. So that is something. Games, DVDs, you can sell those. Gift cards that people really don't want anymore, you can sell those too. And do you know, you have gift cards with at least $25 on them that you've never used, you can sell them for 60% to 90% of the current value of the card. Simply enter the retailer's name and your card's value at swapagift.com or giftcardrescue.com or plasticjungle.com or cardpool.com. They'll give you an offer instantly. You mail the card in and you'll get a check within a few days. Now, there's check cashing stores around the country that participate with swapagift.com to pay you on the spot for gift cards. You can go to swapagift.com/partners/find, and redemption rates do vary by the store, so you need to check ahead. Great way to utilize a gift card that you might otherwise not use. Donna Sebo here. We're out of time. Tomorrow it's History's Mysteries. I hope you'll join us. Don't forget to vote. If you haven't done it, get yourself up off the couch, away from the computer. Go and do it. It's a special gift that's given to you. That's the gift of freedom. Use your vote. Donna Sebo here. Talk to you tomorrow. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.